You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everybody. Here's your chance to help out a candidate. Choose John McCain or Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama and write the line to close their speech tonight or their latest speech. There's primaries, of course, in Oregon and Kentucky. We're following that. We want to know your closing zinger line for the candidates running for president. 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. That's how to reach us. But the pictures are disturbing. And the sunsets are very colorful, but the formerly swampy, muddy Florida Everglades are ablaze. In the midst of the worst drought since the 1930s, more than 3,600 acres have been scorched. Heavy smoke is blanketing southern Florida and parts of Miami. The flames are threatening the habitat of one of the nation's most endangered birds, the Cape Sable Swallow. What of this
Sparrow.
Is natural? Sparrow, excuse me. What of this is natural? And what if this is the result of manipulations of the environment by human beings? We turn to Mike Grunwald, who's the author of The Swamp, The Everglades, Florida, and the Politics of Paradise. He's also a senior correspondent for Time magazine. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, the Everglades ablaze is natural in the sense that, there are fires periodically down there. But how much have humans manipulated the situation in the Everglades?
Well, they were natural fires, but they weren't in May. This is the height of our dry season. We used to get in the natural Everglades, which was, and it was natural not that long ago. You had fires all the time in the rainy season, which starts in June and really picks up in the heat of the summer. But the idea, those were started by lightning strikes. These fires are started by people not only with matches but with crazy water management systems. This is really the bill for 100 years of history coming due.
Can you describe that history, though? What did we find the Everglades as? Then what happened, and what are we trying to do to correct it?
Well, it's people don't realize, now that South Florida is this incredible megalopolis with 7 million people and 50 million annual tourists, and it seems like 100 million golf courses and Jiffy Lubes and Taco Bells. But, in 1880, this was America's last frontier. There were 1 million people living in New York City. There were 257 people living in South Florida. This was just...
Wow.
People called it this hellish, abominable, impenetrable swamp, and nobody really thought that anybody would ever be able to live here. What's happened over the last 100 years is this extraordinary water management system has risen up. You got 2,000 miles of levees and canals. You got pumps powered by engines so powerful that they had to be cannibalized from nuclear submarines. And they've essentially kind of grabbed hold of just about every drop of water that falls on South Florida and whisked it into a lake or into an estuary, which has had tremendously bad consequences for those lakes and estuaries, but has also essentially lost that storage. Water used to be on the land all year long, and now we have too much when we don't need it, and we have not enough when we do need it.
Well, Mike, why can't they just turn on the motors and flood the places that are burning and, be done with it if they've got it so controlled?
Because they've already dumped it out to sea. we don't like it. Half the Everglades is gone, and those used to be wetlands, and now they're highways and driveways and fairways, and so those areas that used to be wet are now dry, and so we don't have the storage anymore. That water's been dumped out to sea. Those wetlands that used to recharge aquifers, no longer exist. So now when the rains don't come for a while, instead of having this kind of reserve, this cushion, not only in the wetlands but also in the lakes, all that water is gone, and so you've got these the Everglades becomes this tinderbox, and this land that used to be considered a morass, a bog, a swamp is suddenly burning. And you mentioned the 30s, which was the probably the last drought we had this bad. There were kids in Miami, just like today, with the smoke hovering over Miami. Back then the kids couldn't go to school without wet handkerchiefs over their faces. So
Mike,
you really do.
Just to follow up on what you're talking about, what's happening today, I've seen that lots of environmentalists say that the Everglades is really, there's a really big test there, which is if we can save the Everglades, then there's hope for saving other parts of the planet. Why such a critical, that's a pretty strong statement to make.
Well, I think that's right. I do think that South Florida is kind of where we're going to figure out whether man can live in harmony with nature. I mean, I think part of it is just that we have right now this incredible, we're now up to a $12 billion restoration project. It's the largest ecosystem restoration effort in the history of the planet, where we're going to try to restore the water of the Everglades, not only for the gators and panthers, but for the people and farms around it. So I think that's one reason people think of it as a test. But really, I mean, when you think about South Florida, where you have all this money, you have, it's the most studied wetland in the world, so you have plenty of science. You get 60 inches of rain down here. So people talk about how water is going to be like the oil of the 21st century. Well, we've got plenty of it to play with down here. We've got 3 million acres already in the public domain, so there's this great canvas to kind of paint this restoration masterpiece. But most of all, you have this incredible political commitment. The Everglades is the most beloved wetland in the world. You've got this unbelievable, everybody says they want to save the Everglades, right-wingers and left-wingers and buffalo-wingers.
Well, Mike, that's the point. I mean, your book, The Swamp, The Everglades, Florida, and the Politics of Paradise, gets into the amazing politics. The characters who are going to determine whether this test is passed down there in the Everglades are some fine read. So Mike Grunwald is the author of that book, The Swamp, joins us. He's also a senior correspondent from Time. Mike, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.